My guest at this time is Eugene Delgadio. He's president of Public Advocate. As the Senate grills Jeff Sessions and debates his nomination to be attorney general, another prominent legal figure from Alabama is entering the crosshairs of some conservatives. According to multiple news reports, appellate court judge William Pryor is very high on President-elect Donald Trump's list to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Mr. Delgadio says that would be a huge mistake, and he joins me now to explain why. And Eugene, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I believe William Pryor is not a man we can trust on the Supreme Court. My belief is that he's, for what it is, an opportunist, an anti-God type of guy who doesn't mind showing his disdain for godly values. And what's worse is he proclaims his principles while he's doing the wrong thing. In the case of Judge Roy Moore, that's why we, primary reason, that's one of our big reasons for being critical of him.
Well, let's back up a little bit. The last time I think most people were even focusing on Judge Pryor was back when he was being filibustered by Senate Democrats when President George W. Bush was trying to get him on the appeals court. Ultimately, there was a compromise, and he got the vote, and he got on. So let's talk about what he's done on the 11th Circuit as it relates to Roy Moore. Roy Moore has been the chief judge two different times in Alabama. One time he was removed by federal courts for refusing to remove the Ten Commandments from the courthouse. And, of course, now he's in legal trouble as a result of refusing to enforce the Supreme Court's ruling on the definition of marriage. So let's start, first of all, in the Ten Commandments case. What did Pryor do there?
Well, that's a very good summary that you just did. I would say what Judge Moore did was, at the time, 2003, put a monument as chief judge. He's an elected chief judge of Alabama. It was one of his most, favorite things to quote the Ten Commandments, to use the Ten Commandments. In fact, it is some of the Ten Commandments are up at the Supreme Court right now on the facade in broad daylight. So Judge Moore embraced the Supreme Court principle of having the Ten Commandments as a guide and put them in the main square. In this case, this was ruled unconventional, improper, whatever, violation of ethics, and it was brought before a tribunal. Most people at the time saw this as an opportunity for showing their colors. In the case of Mr. Pryor, he showed his colors, and this is one of the backdrops, this is one of the backstories to how he established his mettle. He was willing to throw under the bus a man who simply believed in the Ten Commandments as an elected official. Now, that's the critical part of this. You know, we go back to the Kennedy, the separation of church and state with President Kennedy when he ran for president as a Catholic. You know, we go back to this. Are you a Catholic? Are you a Christian? Are you a man or woman who believes in the Ten Commandments as a elected official, as a federal official, as a public official? And Judge Moore made the case that he was not going to give up his principles as a Christian. And it was Mr. Pryor who essentially instigated the entire persecution of Mr. Moore and removed him from office.
And now with the latest case, you have the 2015 decision from the Supreme Court and the Obergefell case that declared that there was somehow a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Judge Roy Moore ordered clerks and other officials throughout the state that they did not have to issue marriage licenses and so forth. And obviously, there's been repercussions for that. How does Judge Pryor fit into that?
Well, this, again, reminds us of what Judge Pryor did. He allowed for the justification of the removal on the basis of religious grounds, and the ethics tribunal in Alabama, and a public advocate filed a lengthy brief in this regard, and we were involved in the defense of Mr. Moore previously. So our attorneys have done a wonderful job in that regard, and we were very specific in our citation, which I make available to anyone who wants our brief. Our amicus brief pointed out that the justification by Mr. Pryor was based on faulty reasoning, and the ethics tribunal this time referred to that judicial proceeding when this was a personnel matter. And in the case of the current board removing him, they in effect they gave him his walking papers for his retirement and essentially said that he wouldn't be on payroll. They couldn't get a unanimous tribunal to rule against him. But Mr. Moore, all he did was issue a legal brief advising his colleagues in the Alabama court that they should wait for an actual ruling from a lower court or other legislative branch before they act as if they were instructed to do something. And this is a situation that's called a simple legal advisory that he issued, which is really just the cornerstone of all judicial temperament. It's to issue an advisory in his capacity under the oath of the Constitution. So for following his constitutional oath, in advising people on how to follow the Constitution and the Alabama Constitution, he was removed. And this goes back to, again, the temperament of Judge Pryor, who, instead of taking by the hand and leading the protecting the Constitution, whether it be the state Constitution or the U.S. Constitution, he simply took his political opportunity and stabbed Mr. Moore. And the basis for that backstabbing is now the basis, the wrongful basis, for the current litigation that removes him again. So I say a wrong like that is a wrong forever and needs to be addressed by the Senate. And the Senate has constitutional experts like Mr. Cruz and others, Mike Lee. The issue at hand is the hand of the presidential prerogative to defend the Constitution. And this business of deserting it, of abandoning it in the face of political opportunity, is what motivates public advocates' opposition.
A couple quick questions for you, Mr. Delgadio, before we let you go. First of all, a lot of folks might say, because this has been said before, that it's different when you're a Supreme Court justice as opposed to a lower court judge, because when you're a lower court judge, you have to honor precedent and higher court rulings and that sort of thing. So your hands are tied in a number of cases, whereas if you are on the Supreme Court, you don't have those same restrictions. Does that give you any solace?
And again, I very much respect Mr. Pryor's legal reasoning, but it is a, and I say this with candor, the construction of what that means is what libertarians and traditionalists agree on. No less a source than Reason Magazine is opposed to Mr. Pryor because of his strict adherence to a state dominance or a preference for state decisions, as opposed to the strict reading of the Constitution. So this is not just a Bible-believing Catholic on the phone with you. I'm also aware that there are other tenets of philosophy involved with this interpretation. And this business of deserting the Constitution, we have men of virtue on the Supreme Court who do remember the godly values and do implement those moral standards, whether they be Christian or they be other moral values. We've based it on the Ten Commandments here in this country. And why that has to be burned, why that has to be destroyed, is a reasoning that cannot be applied in this case. No matter how learned and intellectual, even atheists agree that the Ten Commandments are not a bad basis for making legal decisions.
Finally, Donald Trump, while running for president, did something that no other nominee has done. He put together a public list of people he would consider for the Supreme Court, and the list eventually got as high as 21 names, 20 besides Judge Pryor. I assume you had a chance to see the list. Is there anyone on there in particular that you believe would be the best choice?
Well, the options for me are limited to understanding that while all of them are practiced and so on, there's only one on that list that actually went and destroyed the Ten Commandments. I mean, so, you know, for me, it's pretty, you know, I did oppose Judge Roberts and predicted that he was a weasel, okay? And so alone in the conservative movement, I could say I told you so. And in that context, if you want a weasel, Judge Pryor's a weasel, and he'll betray us. And that's why I'm just focused on Mr. Pryor.
So you're happy with any of the others?
Yes.
Very good. Mr. Delgadio, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very grateful.
Eugene Delgadio is president of Public Advocate. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.